Some time ago, my doctor told me that I needed to lose a little bit of weight. My initial reaction was to find another doctor. But after I thought about it, I guess I took his advice and made some changes in my diet and began walking. Probably 5 days a week I try to walk, and we're a great area of Spokane for that, because I can walk over to Kendall Yards or down into Riverfront Park or along the Centennial Trail. Recently I was walking outside. It was early in the morning and there was a light breeze. And because I was all alone and there was very few people out, I wasn't wearing a mask. A woman approached who was wearing a mask. And when she saw me without one, she, in a very exaggerated fashion, stepped aside, got out of my way, and made a big arc around me. I felt uncomfortable, and I almost as if I thought about people who had leprosy in the first century, how they must have felt, you know, being avoided like that. I think you would agree with me that the past 6 months or so have been characterized by that very behavior: social distancing, fear, and division. I suspect you have witnessed that division yourselves to one degree or another in your families, in your neighborhoods, your workplaces, and perhaps even in the parish. What a contrast between that kind of divisive behavior and the second reading from St. Paul today. Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Looking out for the interest of others is one of the reasons why I find our cathedral parish to be so edifying. As you know, our parish has a long history of supporting other members in the body of Christ, especially those who are poor, those who are suffering, those who in one way or another are living on the margins of society. This was once again powerfully demonstrated a little over a week ago when the wildfires were raging in eastern Washington. I was concerned for my brother priests, and so I called the pastors in Brewster and Omak to see how they were doing and if our parish could help in any way. Father Bautista in Brewster told me that his people were in dire need of drinking water. Evidently the city pumps were out and they had a boil water order or something, so they needed drinking water. Father Luta in Omak indicated he needed Walmart gift cards to give to his parishioners who had lost everything in the fires. And so, as many of you know, I sent an urgent flock note out on Tuesday, and within hours, we had hundreds of cases of bottled water delivered to the campus, thousands of dollars in donations collected, and a truckload of non-perishable food, all loaded up and pulling out of the parking lot on Thursday morning, destined for our brothers and sisters in Omak, Bridgeport, and Brewster. Brian Egan, our plant manager here, and Carolyn Berry, our office manager, made the trip on behalf of our parish with the relief supplies. And after they returned home, Carolyn said this. She said, "For 3 hours, we went from neighborhood to neighborhood with Father Bautista. Father was able to search out and contact families who had lost everything, and we provided them with donations of food, water, and toiletries from our cathedral parishioners. Some of these people's homes burnt down while they were working in the fields," she says, "with no way to save them. I cannot imagine going to work, coming home, and everything is gone. People are still working in the fields there because it's harvest time and they have to keep working. This is the only time of year they really make any money to survive the winter." Carolyn says, the truly Christ-like way in which Father Bautista ministered to this community is inspirational. He was so gentle with people, inquiring about them, their families, their neighbors, writing down names and contact information so he could follow up with them about future needs. Please tell Bishop Daly about this gem of a priest he has there working for him. So that's the note to you, Bishop. Brian Egan, our plant manager, echoed Carolyn's observations and added his praise for Father Luta and Omak, who drove over an hour round trip to meet them in Bridgeport, driving through country that was ravaged by fire and smoke. And when the day was finished, Brian indicated that they were all hot, dirty, and tired, including the priests, working with their boots on, serving, loving, and working side by side with their beloved parishioners. In the words of St. Paul, brothers and sisters, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. At this difficult time of plague and division, how refreshing it was to be able to be a part of such a powerful example of looking out for the interests of others. It's probably providential, therefore, that the theme of our 2020 annual Catholic appeal is one body in Christ. Our Catholic theology tells us that we are all members of Christ's body. And yes, we are blessed to be members of the Mother Church of the diocese. But our theology challenges us, perhaps in a particular way, challenges us not to forget all of the members of Christ's body, including field workers in Brewster, orchard owners in Twisp, and Walmart employees in Omak. As you know, the annual Catholic Appeal funds dozens of ministries for people throughout the 13 counties of Eastern Washington. And this includes campus ministry, youth programs, evangelization, prison ministry, and the education and formation of priests like Father Luta and Father Pedro Bautista, who are bringing the presence, the priestly presence of Christ, to the burned out corners of the diocese. Your contributions, my contributions, to the annual Catholic Appeal paid for their education and formation. Today is Education Sunday for the ACA, and the next weekend will be Commitment Sunday. I've already made my own pledge of $1,000 to be paid in 12 monthly installments. And there are a number of ways you could make your own pledge. You should have received from me by now a pledge card and an envelope in the mail. There are envelopes here in the cathedral. There's a table over there with ACA envelopes, and there's a table back here with ACA envelopes. Many of you are giving online, and we've set up, if you log on to the cathedral website, SpokaneCathedral.com, right there on the homepage is a button that you can click that will take you to the online pledge through the diocesan site. Envelopes can be mailed, dropped in at the office, or placed in the wall safe that we have mounted on the exit here by the elevator pavilion. I'd ask you to please remember to clearly indicate the cathedral on your pledge so as to help us reach our parish goal. Because of the economic impact of the plague, I'm a little concerned about making our goal this year. We're going to make it, but I'm concerned that this is going to require just a little more effort on our part. And so if you are in a position to increase your pledge this year, it will help to compensate for those who are suffering financially. I conclude this morning by reminding all of us that Satan loves division. He loves it when we argue about masks. He loves it when we focus on our own needs over and against the needs of others. Let us fight him as we did in Brewster, Twisp, and Omak. Let us fight him by coming together as one body in Christ.